Welcome back. Happy Thanksgiving. This is episode 144 of the Bash Mania podcast. I am super excited for today's episode. Coffee Talk with Chenzo, Jason Nolf. Going to be a great episode. Before we dive into the conversation, I just want to let you guys know this episode is brought to you by our friends at Attack, A-T-A-C, Attack. And it was an awesome week for Attack. A couple days ago, they announced that they launched a new version of their app. 30 plus new exercises, all new comparison tool where you can see how you stack up against others and yourself to improve the weakest aspects of your game. There's super cool new features here where you can change muscle groups and exercises. You can customize your attack, how you want to attack, fitness, nutrition, mental growth, physical growth, all that. It's super cool. As I've said before, it's a trainer in your pocket. So I'm super excited to roll out. I've had a busy couple of days preparing for Thanksgiving, other things. Tomorrow morning, Thanksgiving, I'm starting this new training regimen. I can't wait to see how it is. I'm super excited for it. I need to get back in shape. So guys, download Attack, A-T-A-C. Follow them on social. They have all sorts of cool ambassadors and athletes they're working with. They're putting money back in wrestlers' pockets. I always love to see that. So download the Attack app, A-T-A-C, Attack, in the Apple App Store today.
It's Bashomania!
Let me tell you something, brother. He gave us everything he had in him tonight. What you gonna do when Bashomania runs wild? Oh, it's gonna be a good one.
And business just picked up here on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Is it okay if I sit right here?
Sit wherever you want.
Yeah, where are you?
I'm at Bo's Gym, American Top Team.
How is it? I haven't seen it on the inside.
It's real nice. This is the upstairs wrestling room.
Tell Brian that he sucks.
Yeah. this is where we're doing the photo shoot. So I have my vest on.
Dude, that gym is sweet.
Yeah, this is just upstairs. There's a sauna upstairs in the locker room, showers, the first floor has jiu-jitsu mats and more heavy bags. I think just pull up bars. Pretty cool.
What belt are you up to?
Real quick. I know you're doing your photo shoot. I just want to say that the Rudis just sent us a bunch of wrestling shoes. So shout out Rudis for sending California RTC wrestling shoes.
Yeah, that's nice.
They're great shoes, man. They're great
shoes. That's nice of them.
My Bash loyalty is currently open. So whoever sends, I have shelf space. I actually have a pair of shoes. Hold on, I'll get them real quick.
That's not good. How's the gym? You trained some striking?
I did striking and it's exhausting. We literally, I was taking 2 weeks off wrestling and I came here cause I still wanted to train something. And
for sure.
It was get after it right away. Ton's the striking coach and Marcel's the jiu-jitsu coach. And we literally came in and it was we were doing a 2 hour practice and we started going as hard as we could, right off the bat. I'm like, this is not how I'm used to. I'm used to playing wrestling, taking 30 minutes to get into the flow of things. But it was all right, we're sparring right now. I was oh my gosh, put this dummy on the ground and beat the crap out of it.
Yeah, it's a dummy named Bo.
Yeah. Oh. Yep.
These are no joke. Those are
awesome.
Those are
old school.
These were my high school wrestling shoes.
Those shoes are worth a lot of money.
These were my high school wrestling shoes before I really even know who Cal was.
Oh, really?
Before I knew who he was. Wild. Wow. Then he became a friend.
There you are.
History.
You guys want to say hi to Maddie?
Definitely.
Oh, for sure. Yo, Maddie. Nolf. Mrs. Nolf, what's up?
She just goes right to work.
Yeah, she's working.
And she was even in a photo shoot I saw.
Yeah, I saw that too. She was. We, Jakara and Macy were, our MIA, and then so Scrap Maddie Life just needed some more detail shots, so we're
we had what to a workhorse Maddie. She is.
I know.
Yeah,
she does it with a smile on her face too. That's the best part about it.
Yeah,
that's awesome. All right, so let's talk some wrestling. Let's go back to this weekend. First of all, I want to talk about Nolf's wrestling coming up. Chenzo, did Shane Griffith have two?
if you have to ask, you don't watch wrestling. I mean, yeah, of course he did. I mean, they, not from that referee or, you know, at that venue, but yeah, I mean, anywhere else. I mean, if Penn State's wrestling in Carver, that's two. Yeah, I don't know. I thought that was one of the most ridiculous wrestling calls I've ever seen.
How do you think you handled it as a coach? Like, that's your first, like, what a terrible call as a coach.
I think I did a good job. I didn't really get on the ref and tell him that he sucks or he's doing a bad job or anything.
Did you want to?
Yeah, I really did. And Jason, we've had that guy. We've had that guy a bunch of times. He used to do our wrestle-offs and stuff like that. And
oh, yeah, wrestle-offs?
Yeah, and I, you know, he's done a lot of refereeing in State College, so I've seen him a bunch of times. Yeah, you know, it is what it is. Sometimes you don't get the call you want. I think, you know, just next time we just can't let ourselves be in that position where we need a late takedown to win the match. You know, we need to be, you know, going from the get-go.
How was Shane's perspective after the match? I think
he was fine. He was fine. You know, I haven't heard, hasn't complained about the call one time. You know, he understands he needs to get on his offense quicker and just finish cleanly. And, you know, that's what we're working on.
Fans seem to care so much more than you guys do about like a bad call. Like, you guys all seem, when you get a bad call, to let it go. Fans will talk about it for 2 weeks in a row.
I mean, look, I can talk about Jaden getting hit for stalling twice in the first period without Yanni taking an actual leg attack. But yeah, I mean, there was definitely some bad calls there that, you know, and we're definitely still, you know, I still don't agree with a lot of it, right? But, you know, you live and you learn. You can't go back and re-wrestle the match, and we don't want to either. You know, we got Vegas. We'll see those guys again in Vegas. We'll see him at the scuffle. And, you know, the goal for Shane Griffith isn't to beat Julian Ramirez, right? Shane Griffith wants to win a national title. If that involves beating Julian Ramirez, then that's part of the goal. But if not, the goal is to win a national title. It's not, we're not seeking out these people just because, you know, we lost to them, maybe because of a bad call or maybe because, you know, we didn't get to what we needed to get to. It's just part of the game.
I think you see it all the time. Like, people lose to somebody they shouldn't lose to in the beginning of the year, and then they come back. I mean, Chenzo, you had that happen a couple times. You lost to a Stanford guy.
Yeah, I saw him last weekend.
Yeah.
Subject. I see him on the wall every day.
That's funny. Yeah.
I see him on the wall every day.
And then you went and won national title. Carter lost to Donnell Washington. Mm-hmm. Came back, won national title. Mark lost first round, first match at Iowa to, who was Alex Meyer. Came back, won national title. So, like, even the Penn State guys that, you know, are struggling right now, I just tell them, I said, like, it's good to, like, have examples of great wrestlers that went before you to, like, look at and gain inspiration from. Because, like, it doesn't really matter what happened in the beginning of the year. It's just what matters at the end of the year.
Yeah, and I agree. And it's good. It's giving us some stuff to work on, right? So we can specify our training a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, you know, it's no big deal. And none of my guys really were, like, too beat up or, like, you know, shaken up about it. They understood, you know, they need to do better in certain areas, and they're hungry to get better. And it's pretty awesome.
You guys have always done good, too, all Penn State, of, like, peaking in March. Nobody really cares but the fans about a bad loss or a loss that shouldn't happen, whatever. You mentioned CKLV. I'm actually looking into heading out for that. I literally just looking at travel last night. There's so many people there. That should be a good weekend. So I am looking into that. That same week, Jason, you're heading to Russia. Wolink. How did that even come about? Wolink 7.
I got a text from Kyle Snyder. He's one of my best friends here. And he just said, hey, would you be interested in going to wrestle in Russia, like, at the end of November? And I was like, of course. So we kind of started the process, and it was going to be me, him, and Zane all going. And then they moved the tournament back to, the Wolink was always in December, but the original tournament in Russia and Dagestan, like the Mahashkala or whatever, was supposed to be November 30th or something along that line. So they moved it back. We had to do a different tournament, and the tournament was supposed to be the 3rd and the 4th of December. So then we said we weren't going to be able to stay for the match because the match is the 7th, the Wolink League. And so Kyle thinks they moved the tournament back a week so that we could go and wrestle in the match and in the tournament.
There's a tournament. The tournament's the weekend after that 3rd, 4th?
Yeah, it's so like
Zane can't go.
Zane right. definitely can't Zane's go. Zane's wedding's the 11th, and I felt right. really bad. I had to talk to Zane. I'd be like, dude, like
I can't go either. Yeah.
I was like, I want to be like, there.
I want to be there too.
Jason, I'm sure you remember when you got married how hectic like the couple of weeks leading up to the wedding is. Even when you told me that like Zane was initially gonna go, and I'm thinking about when his wedding is, I'm like, that's ballsy to go to go that close to your wedding. I think it's a testament to how much he loves to compete that it's like, hey babe, deal with everybody. I'm gonna go compete in Russia for a week or so and then come back. That's nuts.
Yeah, that'd have been fun. And then the tournament was supposed to be the 9th and the 10th. And then they moved it to the 10th and the 11th. And we had already booked our flights to fly back the 11th. So Varner reached out to the guy in Russia, was like, hey, like, and then the Russians moved it to a 1-day tournament now. So now it's just
all for you guys. They just want Nolf and Snyderman there.
Well, the Russian said, we told all of Dagestan that Snyder is coming.
So did they DM him?
He has a friend there. I can't remember who his friend is, but we were looking to compete.
Oh, his name is Sajulayo. That's his friend.
No. No. So we were looking to compete, and there wasn't another tournament until January, but I wanted to compete like now. So he reached out to his friend in Dagestan and said, hey, are there any tournaments? So this one's not on UWW. But then...
You think that dude will wrestle? I'm sorry to keep changing.
Sajulayev?
Yeah.
He won't be there.
He shows up to Worlds. Worlds.
I think Kyle is wrestling in the league. Kyle is wrestling the backup guy, who I think was a U23 world champ at 92 kilos. Or maybe 97 kilos. Dang. The year that... or something like that. I think their backup's pretty good. So
they have really good backups at every weight.
Yeah. And I'm wrestling Sabalov at
that's freaking 70, good.
At 74 plus 3 kilos. So I'll have to make 169. I'll have to make. And then for the tournament, I'm wrestling 74 and they give you 2 kilos. So that'll be 167.
That answers my next question of what weight you're wrestling.
That's what I was going to say. So are you going to try to compete at 74 moving forward?
That's the plan right now. Yeah. My weight, I was pretty light for the world team trials. I didn't cut any weight. And then after the trials, I actually gained another like 6 pounds. I was trying to gain weight before the trials. It wasn't happening. And then I gained weight after the trials. So now it's getting a little bit harder to get back down to 74. But I think that's my best weight.
I'm definitely heavier than you now, though.
What do you weigh? I'm
probably like 180.
That's what I weigh.
We go back and forth a lot. We take turns of who's heavier.
Well, Chenzo was saying he wanted to go down to 70 kilos and start competing again.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm here for it.
In the spring, that's where I was. Now I'm like, ooh, 79. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Jason,
in the spring, I was looking at that.
You were telling me too that I didn't really think about it when we were first talking about you competing, that you've only had 2 international matches.
Yeah.
That's wild. I never like thought about that. But
well, if you include the Egyptian that I wrestled in the Bill Farrell the year that Chenzo hurt my knee, then that's 3. I don't want to throw that at you there. Shots fired.
I was there. I remember that like it was yesterday.
I felt so bad. Oh my god. I felt like the biggest jerk in the tournament.
It's no big deal.
It was a big deal to me because
it was a big deal to me.
Then you wrestled Imar next, right? And nobody knew that you had like tweaked your knee. And everybody's much better. And I'm just sitting there like I was there and I'm like in my head, like his knee's messed up. But you don't say anything, but all the Twitter people, social media, they're all like, ooh, this is it's annoying.
Yeah, I don't care. Like, I was like, it was funny. Did I tell you that story? Did I tell you that story on Bash Mania before the last time?
Which one?
Well, so I hurt my knee. I tore my MCL. And we go back, and there's a doctor there, and he tries to tape my knee up. And he tapes my knee up, and it does nothing for me. Like, he's like, well, he basically says, like, hey, you can't wrestle, but I'm going to tape your knee up. And I'm like, walking around and I'm like, my knee is still loose. This tape has done nothing. So Kyle Snyder was like, hey, I'll tape it up. I know how to tape a knee. So we're in the bathroom at the Bill Farrell, and he's taping my knee up. And I'm like, this feels nice. Like, this feels solid. And I'm like, we still can wrestle. But there was rumors that, like, Martinez had got hurt also. So I'm like, man, I'm going to play this mind game. Like, I'm going to go out there and, like, pretend like I did everything in my power to, like, not show any limp. Like, I was, like, I was walking so slow, but I was, like, trying not to limp so hard. And I walked out there. I'm like, okay, I don't think he's going to go out there and wrestle. Like, because the winner of that match got a spot in the Olympic trials. And I hadn't qualified yet. So I go out there. And like, I thought his shoulder was hurt. Right away, he digs a deep underhook. Like, starts, like, I'm like, oh, his shoulder's not hurt. He might have been hurt a little bit. But I was like, there's no way that, like some people were trying to make it seem like it was extreme. And I know he ended up getting, like, surgery on it. But yeah, like, he, like, took me down. I think he forward me, turned me. And then I was like, all right, I'm not giving up at this point. Like, my goal was, like, just to, like, play the mind game and end a forfeit if he's going to wrestle. But at that point I was like, you know, maybe I'll throw a headlock and pin him. You never know. So
that would have been wild.
That would have been pretty cool.
But just the whole time I was not planning on wrestling. So that was pretty funny. But Kyle did tape my knee up, and then we found a knee pad from it was an old sweaty knee pad. It stunk so bad. And we just put it over my knee, and I'm like, all right, let's see how it goes.
You don't even know whose it was?
No.
That's wild. And it's funny too, because, like, you know, whether you're at 74, you have Dake, 79 Burrows, like, to make the world team now, you have to not only beat the best guy in the country, but the reigning world champ. Like, you got to beat a world champ to make the team. Does that change your training at all at this point? Like, for an individual, or just, does that matter?
There's always things that I'm working on, things that are exposed in those matches. That don't get exposed in matches that I just win 10-0. So I definitely make adjustments from those matches. And but that's what makes wrestling fun. Like, I just want to go be the best. And to be the best, you got to beat the guys that, you know, are the reigning world champs. And, it's just part of it. I've always kind of been like, I don't view myself as an underdog, but I've always, like, going into high school, I was never, like, ranked number one in the country, until I was my senior year. So there was always guys that I had to beat, and, like, along the path, and that's just part of wrestling. Like, this is just part of the path.
I was watching a match the other day, and it was me and you wrestling at Virginia Beach. And it was the first time I saw you do your front flip out of a double leg.
You bumped up to wrestle me.
Mm-hmm. And it was against me. And it was against me. I hit a clean double, and he just did a flip out of it, and then he ran out of bounds. And I remember we're on the edge, you go out of bounds, and then you said, "Hi, Chenzo," and then you, like, pushed my head, and then you ran in bounds, and I was like, "This freaking guy." But yeah, like, that's just what that reminds me of whenever I think of us in high school. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was a fun match. We've had some. You're like one of the favorite people that you're one of my favorite partners. I feel like
me too.
You're
like, yeah, the best
partner I've had to train with at Penn State. Like, my people, man, always ask me who's your favorite training partner, and, like, you're always up there. Like, I always like going with Conway too, because he was smaller than me, and I could kind of, like, if I needed to throw him down,
you can. Down.
Yeah. But
yeah, no. I like wrestling practice. I think I have a good flow. I like practice. No, we've just been working out together since we were 8. So it's just like, you know, we just have a good flow whenever we go. But yeah, I tell people that all the time too, that, you know, I would work out with you a lot, and just, we'd go through a lot of different shit. And that's kind of what just helps you get good at wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, we were at practice one time in high school. We're at Young Guns, and I show him this, like, overhook, like, you know, like, step behind thing. And then he hits it on me in live 20 minutes later.
That's like, yeah, being coachable, man.
Yeah.
So, like, every time I learn something, I, like, try to hit it right away.
And you did.
Yeah.
It makes sense. But I mean, I think I asked you guys both on different episodes of this podcast, like, after you guys wrestled with the Bill Farrell, how was it? Because the fans were so much like, when you root for a team like Penn State, and then all of a sudden two Penn State guys wrestle, it causes like this level of internal chaos. And much like a bad call for you guys, it wasn't a big deal. Like, you're wrestling and, you know, you want to beat each other to make the team, but it's not like there's bad blood. It's not like, I remember specifically the Bill Ferrell match when I think one of you like was going to go to a different coach or something. There was like an ounce of confusion.
Right, here we go, dude.
And everybody was we both went to the same corner.
I'm pretty sure we both went to the same corner in between periods. And then that was my fault. So I went to the wrong corner.
Well, me and Chenzo, we knew we were going to wrestle in that tournament because whether it was in the semis or the finals, like we knew we were going to wrestle each other, but that didn't prevent us from training with each other the entire week and like the weeks leading up because go ahead.
No, I was going to say we practiced together during the week. We warmed up together. We cut weight together like three nights that week. So yeah, we knew we were going to wrestle. We just didn't care. Like
there's nothing that we don't know about each other at this point. Mm-hmm. So like warming up, like we both want each other to feel good. And like, we want to feel confident coming into our competitions. And like that, we want to do the same thing we've done our whole college career, which is train with each other. And that's what's making us the most confident. So that's why we're able to train with each other. I mean, if it's if I go to the world championships and then I'm not going to wrestle up, I'm not going to warm up with a Russian because we don't have each other's feel yet. So, well, if it's my teammate, like I'll warm up with him because we know what each other do. It's just like whoever. Yeah, for sure. You know, get done, so.
So you got to take Chenzo if you make the world team next year.
Mm-hmm. As my partner. Yeah.
Yeah. Basically. Do you have anything competition lined up after these competitions in Russia next week or in a couple weeks?
I'll probably go to the Euregan in January.
Yeah.
That's my plan for now. That'll be like 6 weeks.
You versus Sitikov would be electric.
Is he going to be there?
I've heard he was.
Yeah, who knows? Just watched. I started watching film on my guys, and I was watching Sabalov, and he wrestled Sitikov, and he beat Sitikov in the Euregan a couple years ago. And I was like, that shocked me. I was like, because after watching Sitikov at the Olympics, I thought, and then watching some of Sabalov's matches, that shocked me. But just going into a match, like something that Beksad told me, is like, you just got to like, when you go compete, you have to like, before every match, imagine this is going to be the hardest match of my life. And then wrestle in that way. Because if you underestimate somebody and like, think you're like, sometimes I get in the habit of like, oh, I'm going to go out and tech fall this guy. Then that makes the match a lot harder. It's good to be confident in yourself, but you also have to be prepared for a fight if it comes to that. So I'm prepared for a fight. I'm excited to go. I wrestled, I guess your original question, how many international matches have you had? I wrestled in Canada.
The Pan Ams, right?
Pan Ams. Yeah. And then I wrestled the guy that Beksad beat for bronze, Kaisanov. I wrestled him in Poland, lost on the last second takedown.
How about you versus Chimizo on an NLWC Rockfin card? Can we bring cards?
Whoa, Bashmania Rockfin card. What are you talking about, NLWC?
All right, Bashmania Rockfin card, fine.
Whoever's gonna pay me more.
We'll do a Bashmania Rockfin card.
The Bashmania is looking into a Rockfin card. The problem is we have to
already have budget. A match list.
We do already have a match list. That's no.
I have a match list of matches I want, and we're probably gonna get a lot of them. And I can add Jason Null, Frank Chimiza to that list. I just need.
Well, I would be Frank on there. Chimiza. It would not take you. You wouldn't have to twist my arm for that one.
What were we watching that we started putting matches together for a card? It was like a grudge card.
We wanted to do a grudge card, but then it turned into me just putting all the California RTC guys on it and making matchups that I wanted to see.
And we said it'd be cool to have guys wrestle alumni. So a Penn State grad wrestle a current Penn State guy. Or you have Burroughs wrestle, you know, Mike Labriola, somebody who's currently wrestling. Like, it'd be cool to have that. And then I think maybe Luke Gardner suggested Roman versus Nico.
Oh my god! Yeah. Nico's on his way back.
He is. I saw him
at Morgan McIntosh's wedding this weekend. He said he's coming back at 61. So
he's been saying that for a year.
I thought you were talking about Nico Provo.
No, I've never even, I don't even, who's that?
Stanford recruit. Great kid.
Oh, Nico Provo.
Yeah. No.
Luke, you're talking about Nico Megalutis?
Correct. Nico Megalutis versus Roman Bravo Young.
That'd be
all right. So, oh, we lost Chenzo. He said his card is spotty, or his internet's spotty right now.
Oh, really? He
joins back. Okay, so that's cool. A couple other things we'll talk about. We'll see where Chenzo hops back in. Tomorrow's obviously Thanksgiving. We're going to release this episode tonight. I'm curious for you. You've always been somebody who's really grateful for things. Where's your current level of gratitude in wrestling? You know, Thanksgiving obviously makes people think about gratitude, gratefulness. You've had an amazing career you're grateful for. Where's your gratitude level at now? And where do you try to keep your perspective on gratitude when competing?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just talking to the Penn State guys, like, where I think some of them are putting some pressure on themselves.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, you know, they're trying to live up to somebody else's, you know, status or another person's record or anything like that. I'm like, man, you have a chance to wrestle for Penn State. And like, for me, I have a chance to represent basically Penn State and then Nittany Line Wrestling Club and Coach Kale and Coach Casey, everybody. So to be able to make a career out of doing what I love, like, I just keep thinking about this. Like, when I was going into college, I'd imagine, like, when I pictured myself after college, I was pictured myself doing extra schooling to become a doctor or a chiropractor, or, you know, working a job.
Shout out Matt McCutcheon.
Yeah. Shout out Matt McCutcheon.
Just a little bit, not a ton though.
Yeah. And now, like, being able to, like, wrestle and, you know, do this as a career and then eventually get into coaching, it's really cool. Like, I'm just, like, super blessed to have put myself in this position. And, like, I thank God for putting me here and blessing me with my wife and with all the people that are around me. Couldn't ask for a better group of guys. I mean, Chenzo could beg to differ at Stanford there. But, you know, I love the Penn State family. I love everybody here. It's just really cool. And when you first started talking about gratitude, I just sent my two contractors that have worked with my house. I just sent them happy Thanksgiving. I'm grateful for you guys that you guys worked hard because I've had some sketchy, I don't want to say sketchy in case they watch this, but
no, it's okay.
You can say it. Yeah.
That's what this is for.
This is for all you sketchball people out there. Don't be sketchy.
Well, they're not sketchy. They're nice guys. My floor is supposed to be done in my basement before September. And now we're getting close to December and we're getting Airbnbs, people coming in and the floors aren't done. And
unbelievable.
So I messaged the people that have done a good job in my house. It's like this guy, Ralph, he built my kitchen in 2 days in my basement.
Ralph's the man.
This other guy, Dan, they went through and they got so much work done in like a month to where like my house was ready to live in. And now it's taken, you know, these other contracts, and I know they're busy and they got other things going on, but it's been about 3 or 4 months trying to get a floor put in on a basement. Yeah. And, so I messaged them. I actually am pretty frustrated right now because we Airbnb'd our house last night and I stayed at a friend's house. And
the floor wasn't done. Did you pay your friend?
No, I didn't pay him. I went home to my dad's one weekend, my mom and dad's. And they're like, yeah, we're going to charge $800 for tonight. Since you're making money for the Michigan game. But the Airbnb, this is the fourth time of Airbnb in my house. The first three, I got all 5 stars. Everybody's had great reviews. Everything's gone really smoothly. This time, I just checked my phone literally 5 minutes before we got on for Bashmania. And I almost wanted to throw up. I didn't want to get on the call. I was like,
what happened?
They left me a 2-star review, said, honestly, I'm super disappointed in this place. It felt like we were living in someone else's home. There was clothes in the drawer. There was a dog bed. There was food in the fridge, in the pantry. And that's just, and they're like, this is, I've never stayed in an Airbnb like this before. And I messaged the lady back. I was fired up.
I was like, "What'd you say?"
Read it.
I messaged you back. And the way Airbnb works is, you can't read the person's review before you leave the other person a review. So I left her a review of 5 stars because Maddie said that I haven't even been home since yet. I just came straight to ATT this morning. But Maddie said that she left the house pretty clean. So I was like, all right, let's give her a 5-star review. Cause like, that's like what you do as a human being. You give people 5-star mm-hmm. review.
For sure.
Unless it's like my house is nice. Like if you're going to leave
LG throws up review, in your Uber, you get 5 stars.
Yeah. Like you just get 5-star reviews. That's what you do. Like you help other people out. Like you don't
that's
give
what
somebody,
we do.
You don't we give do. Somebody a 2-star review on Airbnb. Like that's unbelievable to me. I was fired up.
That's when power gets to your head.
I've been in
the digital marketing world for the last 15 years. And one of my biggest gripes is the review system because it's such a scam. One of my clients, an employee, I don't know how much I can say this, but they basically fired an employee. They were a terrible employee. And the employee went on and started leaving negative reviews. Complete lies. You can't fight it. You can't dispute it. You can't delete it. Nothing. And so few times people go on and leave positive reviews just for the heck of it, that when you go on and negatively impact a business, you're hurting them. But people are so quick to just leave. I hate it. It's the biggest scam out there, the online review system.
I agree completely. No one leaves good reviews unless they have to.
Yeah, my message to her, I'm like, well, first of all, if you didn't like it, just don't leave a review. Like, don't hurt me as a person. Like, that's digging deep into my core. Like, me and Maddie are like, we're trying to like make a living out of this. Like, this is part of our side hustle where we're trying to like Airbnb our house. Like, we're literally leaving our house. And I messaged her, I said, hi, and I was polite. Hi, Alicia, I'm sorry that you were, I'll just call her out, Alicia. Whatever, she lives in New York.
Damn Alicia.
She lives in New York. Come on, Alicia.
What's your address?
Come on, Alicia. She lives in New York. So,
Alicia, you know, New York. New I York hope you're people, listening to this.
New York people can be sketchy sometimes. No disrespect to Jay.
No,
Jay
Bash.
AJB.
I agree.
Especially
I Rochester she's actually,
people.
She's actually from Rochester.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
you probably know Alicia from Rochester. Does she
have a profile picture?
Yeah, short hair.
You gotta send me the profile picture. There's a good shot I might know who she is. Rochester's small. Like it's not like
Alicia from Rochester.
Probably seen her in the grocery store before.
They were bringing their kids for a college visit. There was 9 of them. There were 2 families. So 2 families of 5 and 4. I said, hi Alicia. I'm sorry that you were disappointed in your stay. My wife and I just started Airbnb. And we've gotten all 5-star reviews. Everybody has listed us great reviews thus far. So we're surprised to hear this. We do actually live in our home. So that's why there's like clothes there and food in the fridge. But like we left them space in the fridge. Like we left a whole shelf for them. I know like they're staying there one night. What do they need more than one shelf for?
That's a good point.
We can't afford. I didn't mention this, but we can't afford to just throw all of our food away
for one night.
Every time there's a guest coming. So I was like, we do actually live there, but, and we've never heard this complaint before ever. Like it's been the same ever. That's why we haven't changed it up. And I said, if you could give us some examples on some Airbnbs that you've stayed in that, could help us with our business, we'd greatly appreciate it. And I said, thanks again. But I was like, come on, like you feel like you're staying in somebody else's home. Like you think that we don't live there. Like obviously we live there. That is our home.
It is an Airbnb. It is literally a rental. And Chenzo, to bring you up to speed, this all started because I was asking Nolf about gratitude because tomorrow's Thanksgiving. So we were talking about gratitude. And Jason,
I'm so thankful.
It's funny you said your contractors because we're still slowly doing work at our house and we're like doing our front yard, backyard, closet, stuff like that. And I literally just texted a guy who I can tell he wants to make more progress, but the weather has not cooperated. So I'm like, dude, he gave me an update before he left, just before we hopped on here. And he's like, I know it doesn't look like much. I'm like, no, dude, I'm grateful for you. Like the fact that you're making progress and you're out there working hard and it's 30 degrees out there. Like, I'm grateful for that. Trust me. Cause I've looked at like the work that needs to be done with no progress. This is night and day. Super grateful for it. So it's funny you mentioned that. I did the same thing. I tried to, when we were building the house, I constantly tried to pray for everybody who was working at the house. And I tried to continually express gratitude to them because these guys are blown away. Like, the good contractors don't hear it enough that they're actually good.
Yeah.
It's wild. So I 100%
agree. There are not that many good contractors out there.
Correct.
So when you get somebody, like, you got to hold on to them. And honesty is big too. Like, something with like the flooring is like, yeah, we can get this done. And then it's not done. So that's something that really frustrates me. And like Dan, I asked Dan if he was able to like do our floor and stuff. And he goes, I'm not going to be able to get it done. And like, I respected that honesty.
Yep.
Like, if you're not going to be able to get it done, don't tell me you can't, you can get it done. Like, I'll try to find somebody else who is more available to get it done. So like, honesty is like one of the biggest things. Like if you're not honest, that's just disrespectful.
Yep.
In my opinion. I don't know.
I agree, because
it's pretty dishonest if you're not honest.
And a lot of contractors don't know how to communicate. I have guys sometimes just show up one day and not show up the next. I'm like, wait, you're here today? I had no clue you were coming. Like, not communicating. So that's all. That could be a whole episode of the podcast. Just contractors.
Yeah, let's set this aside for next time.
So
I have a great contractor actually that's working on my house at in State College. He's not a contractor. He just does some handyman work every once in a while. His name's Adam Lynch. Recommend giving him a call if you ever need anything.
Yeah, I know that guy.
Yeah, he's super speedy, super quick, and gets the job done in an excellent manner.
He's the one doing the work at your house?
He's done some work on my house, yeah.
I love that. That's awesome.
He's done a little bit, yeah.
Jason, you mentioned that you were talking to the Penn State kids about gratitude. What is the vibe like right now in State College on a college level?
I don't know. I'm not like, I'm not as tightly knit with them. They kicked me out of the group chats, you know.
About time.
I'm like an old guy now, but I have a couple.
Yeah, dude, you're 26. You're 26. Could you imagine wrestling in college at 26 years old?
That's my next topic. We're gonna get to that in a second.
I'm only 25. I'm only 25.
You're 25. You're 25. You're 25. I forget. You're 26.
I'm 35. So you know how old I feel. I told the guy yesterday, who's also 35, like, in 15 years, I'm going to be 50. He said, no, you're not. I said, dude, I got news for you. So are you. Like, you're my age. Like, you need to reconcile it with this.
Yeah. I think I
want to clickbait that for the caption of this episode. Like, Jason Nolf got kicked out, .. at State College. No context. Just clickbait it.
That's funny. Yeah. Yeah. So I think the vibe's good. I think it's just like a little bit different of an atmosphere than when we were there.
I think so. That's what I've heard.
Yeah. I don't know if it's like, yeah, I don't want to say anything like, it's not like disrespectful or anything. I just think like everybody kind of has their own group now, where when we were in college, like, everybody was together.
And like,
and
you know,
you kind of see people like secluding themselves and like, you know, so, you know, I think our mindsets and like, if you're talking about overall vibe, I think I like the vibe. I think we have good mindsets. I think people are ready to compete. Like, people want to win bad. I don't think people want to pin as much as they used to.
I've noticed that.
Yeah. So I think like, that's something I'm trying to implement into our guys, is like, hey, like, look for cradles here, look for cement jobs here, look for this here. And
do that every day,
because you can end matches and, you know, conserve energy. Like, if you can end a match, especially like in nationals, like, you need pins. And last year at nationals, we didn't get any pins. And I think that's like, I think that's really important. So that's something I've been trying to help the guys out with. And someone I've been really impressed with is Max Dean. Like, I think he's made big growths since he's got to.
I called him Mean Max Dean.
I agree. And I could see that was going to happen.
He's cutting people into tie ups. He's snapping down, like, looking for the cradles. He hasn't really got them a whole lot yet, but he has three tech falls.
He reminded me of Zane the other night.
Yeah, he looked good. And that guy he wrestled, I think, was ranked like 20th in the country or something along that lines. So, like, it wasn't like a turd ball. He was, yeah, tech falling. So I think the more we can get into, like, just like an attitude of, like, going out instead of trying to win, trying to dominate and get tech falls and pins, I think our team's going to just keep getting better. And, you know, it's just part of it is just trusting in our coaches and our staff to – get that done, and the guys at the RTC to help the college team out. But you know, right now we're a little bit of a team. We have some new guys in the lineup, so I think they're just adjusting right now. But by the time nationals comes around, we're going to be ready, and you know, other teams are going to be tired and wanting the season to end. We're going to be excited and spirited and ready to go. So I think we're looking good to win a national title this year.
I agree too.
The Cardinal isn't quite ready yet. Give us some time.
That's on deck.
We do have some hammers. We really do. And I keep trying to tell them too that, you know, wrestling is way more fun if we're threatening the other guy's back. Not just from a standpoint of pinning guys, but people will just give up, you know.
Yeah. I've never been so excited about Stanford wrestling than I am right now.
I appreciate that, man.
I mean,
I'm
pretty excited too. Yeah, I mean, people are giving us compliments, you know. We're wrestling hard, right? We're in almost every match. We've gotten blown out a few times if we're pretty, you know, if it's that big of a mismatch, then yeah. But if, you know, if our guys can compete, they're right there in the match. And I'm pretty proud of that.
Yeah.
We're wrestling hard.
I spent however much money I spent to watch a terrible feed on ESPN Plus of Cornell Stanford just because of you. So like,
my man, you know, you could have just drove an hour and a half.
Hour 45, but I didn't want to drive home at night. That's the only thing.
Oh, my bad.
So that's right, the only.
Hey, look, so I do have a few things written down that we could go over. I do want to do a Thanksgiving draft where we draft a meal, which would include one main entree, one side, one beverage, one dessert, and little extra flair here, one Thanksgiving Day activity.
All right, I'm down.
I need three sides.
You need three sides. You just get one.
This is like your. This is your top.
This is his Super Bowl
category. This is like.
All right.
What are we starting with? Entree.
So yeah, we're gonna go. We'll have Justin. You start. I'll go second. Jason, you go third, and we'll do snake draft. Right. So you go first. I go second. Jason goes third. Then Jason goes fourth. And we're doing one entree, one side, one beverage, one dessert, and an activity.
All right.
Thanksgiving Day activity.
Entree, smoked turkey. Turkey smoked on a Traeger.
Smoked turkey.
Smoking the turkey on a Traeger instead of in the oven. It's amazing. I got a turkey brining right now. Tomorrow, I'm going to put it in the Traeger for 3-4 hours, smoke it at like 300 degrees. It's going to be amazing.
How long do you have to brine it for? Like, could I go get a turkey right now and make it tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm brining it for 24 hours, but you could brine it for like
12, you don't have 18. That kind of time. Got to be 24 or nothing.
Wow. I don't think last year I brined it for 24 and it came out really good.
Cool.
So you can still do it.
Is my entree next? My next pick?
I'm number two, man. See, here's the thing for Thanksgiving. There's only two main entrees. And, you know, mine is going to be a honey baked ham.
So if you guys draft those, I can't draft turkey or ham.
You can. You mean if you cook it differently? Yeah.
But, yeah, like,
I wasn't going to do either anyway.
There you go.
Wow.
All right.
My main entree is garlic mashed potatoes.
Wow.
That for your main entree, you get garlic
mashed
potatoes.
That's my entree.
You
wouldn't let me do sides. You wouldn't let me do more than one side. So I would rather eat mashed potatoes than turkey.
We might need to start a poll on Twitter for that. My father-in-law makes great garlic mashed potatoes. I'm looking forward to those tomorrow.
Turkey's either hit or miss. Turkey's either like unbelievable or not good, I think.
I hate turkey. I love the turkey I've done the last couple of years in the Traeger. It's really good.
I'm having a fun time out here, guys. This is fun.
Now you pick your side. Now you pick your side.
So now you're first. Turn again? You're first for side.
Yeah, you're first for side.
Oh, that's easy.
Yeah.
Green bean casserole.
Oof, that's what I was going to rip. I like the green bean casserole.
It does not get the respect it deserves. So it many people think it's like overrated. It's underrated. It is 100% underrated.
You just put a little salt and pepper on there. It's like the best.
Yep.
If I could have two things to eat for Thanksgiving, it would be mashed potatoes and green bean casserole.
Yeah. I need to start.
Maybe make them all together.
Yeah, so you got to go slow because that was my side. So like,
all right. Well, my side, that was it. Those were actually my two top sides. My number three side is going to be my side's going to be stuffing. I mean, that's just easy.
I'm not a big stuffing guy.
It's stuffing. If it's good stuffing, it's good.
Stuffing stinks.
Bad. You guys are wrong.
Hashtag stuffing stinks. If you're listening to this and you agree, can you tweet out hashtag stuffing stinks? That's 100%. Our Thanksgiving hashtag.
Whatever, guys.
It tastes like I'm eating like possum hair. I feel like I'm eating like a dried possum.
I've never had dried possum, so I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, that's a bold comparison.
I like it though.
My side's going to be an interesting one. I'm curious because I'm a big carb guy. My side is going to be buttered rolls.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I love buttered rolls.
All right.
And you know those little ones I'm talking about. Those little, dinner rolls you cut in half. You put the Hawaiian butter on. Yes.
Right. Yeah. The Hawaiian rolls.
Yep. 100%. That's the side. I would rather have those rolls over stuffing all day. All day.
You guys, I like, you guys, that's like more of like a, you know, that's an appetizer type of thing.
That is an appetizer. Yeah, that's what you eat before dinner. But I mean, whatever.
I mean, if mashed potatoes are an entree, then you know, rolls are definitely a side.
I put the roll on the plate and I put a little piece of turkey on the roll and I make like a mini sandwich.
You can dip your bread in butter.
In the gravy.
You can do that in the gravy and the mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
That's good too. 100%. Unfortunately for me, I don't eat bread right now. I'm grain free. Shoot. So yeah.
It's a good way to be. I'm not, you can't tell.
I need to be.
I need to be also.
Well, I don't know how you get these. Oh, I don't know how you, okay, there's something in the way, but I don't know how you get these biceps, you know, eating bread. So
this video is now exclusively going on the premium channel on Rockfin.
I don't really have biceps and I eat bread. So
what's the next one? And do all I right, go
beverage,
now?
Beverage, you're up.
Red wine, Pinot Noir with turkey. It's perfect. That's the perfect Thanksgiving beverage.
All right. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to have to go with, an Oktoberfest beer because, you know, I'm retired now and I can drink beer on Thanksgiving. So Oktoberfest.
That's funny. Now that you're retired. Okay. Yeah. So I want you guys to guess my drink.
Chocolate milk.
That it's either chocolate milk or water.
I was gonna say water.
You gotta go chocolate milk, dude. This is
you don't wanna be I don't really drink chocolate milk a whole lot anymore either because that's a lot of sugar, but you know, I'll have to pull out the chocolate milk for this Thanksgiving.
A specific brand.
I don't see a problem with that.
A specific brand, Gallagher's.
Okay.
Shout out to Gallagher's.
Nope.
Gallagher's is maybe a Pennsylvania brand, but
it's great.
Yeah, it's the best.
We have Wegmans. Ever heard of it?
Yeah, I know what Wegmans is. I know what Wegmans is.
I took my man G Baby to Wegmans whenever we were in Ithaca a few days ago, and he was like, it was like a whole new world for him. Dude, like, I've never seen a
good. I went to the one in Rochester. It was built in Rochester, right? That's where the original Wegmans are.
Yeah.
I went to that one. It's massive.
There's like 20 around here. There's so many. Like from my house, I can probably go to 2 or 3 within the same exact driving distance. Like it's nuts. One of my jobs was working in the Wegmans warehouse. Awesome job. I wish I still worked there, to be honest.
Our Wegmans have like the best customer. Their employees love working there.
Yeah, it's like one of the best places, top 100 heard that to work about, for in
like,
the country.
I heard that about like Whole Foods too.
Yeah,
Whole Foods. I don't know if that's true or not.
Not as good as Wegmans.
True or not, but no. That's what I've heard.
Nobody touches Wegmans.
No one touches it. All right. So now you got dessert.
Is it me?
Yeah.
It's you.
All right. Here's my dessert. If I were to go to dessert, I'd get a nice warm brownie and I'd put probably like 6 or 7 scoops of vanilla ice cream on top with chocolate syrup and then just eat it like that.
Brownie with ice cream.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's a double dessert right there, but I mean, you can't do the brownie without the ice cream, and I mean, you can do the ice cream without the brownie, but
you know, who wants to do that? Together. I would put them together too. Now it's my turn for dessert, and like I could go super basic, which I've been going pretty basic. You know, I'm trying to stick to the actual Thanksgiving basics here. Right. So I'm not going to go pumpkin pie because I think it's okay.
I like pumpkin pie.
So do I, but I also like pecan pie. We're going to go pecan pie.
Never had pecan pie.
It's okay. It's not bad.
I've never had pecan pie or pumpkin pie. I'm not a big pie guy. Yeah, but there's one.
You're 35 type of... years old.
<You know? laughs> Dude, you're in 15 years. You're going to be.
You can't
50,
just try a piece of pumpkin
pie. And you've never
pie.
Had pecan or never had no. pecan or pumpkin pie.
Pumpkin like is way more common than pecan pie.
If I'm around a pie, the only pie. I, first of all, I'm getting dessert, which I only get like maybe twice a year. I'm not a big dessert guy.
Neither
it's
am I.
It's the brownie with vanilla ice cream or a molten lava cake with vanilla ice cream. That is the play. The only other pie I like. Is like a Reese's peanut butter pie.
Is that your choice?
Yeah.
What's your selection?
100%.
Reese's peanut butter pie. I'm writing all this down, by the way.
Yeah. Reese's peanut butter pie is the move. And Reese's actually came out with like a massive pie this year for Thanksgiving. And it sold out like instantly.
Pie, right?
Yeah.
A Reese's pie.
And it sold out like instantly.
Is it actual pie or is it just a massive Reese's cup?
Yes.
Oh, now we're getting all right. I'm changing mine to giant Reese's cup.
It's like a Reese's cup, but it's a pie.
Is it made of pie stuff?
No, it's made of Reese's cup stuff in the shape of a pie.
That's a bit extreme. So it's just a giant.
That'd be like to eat a piece of pie would eat like 8 Reese's cups.
Correct.
Ooh, that's incredible. Like, that's too much Reese's cup for me.
The two things I was. Maybe. The two things I was mad about in the last month they were sold out about, because you can't get anything right now. Everything's back ordered. But the two things that frustrated me were, one, that the Reese's pumpkin or the Reese's pie, peanut butter pie, was sold out. Two is they released.
Looking this up.
Two is they released a Home Alone Lego set, and that sold out instantly, too. And I would have liked to get that because Home Alone's the greatest Christmas movie ever. So I would have liked to get that. Chenzo, what's next? The activity?
Activity. I already know what my activity is going to be on this Thanksgiving, and I can't wait.
I have two activities. I'll have to pick one.
Yeah, pick one.
Yeah. I'll say watching football. Especially because the Bills are tomorrow night. Like, I'm planning.
I was going to be more specific than that, but yeah.
We host Thanksgiving, and I'm preparing, like, a first course tomorrow at 3. And then a second course for the Bills game at 8.
Wow.
But my backup idea was the last 3 years, we've decorated our tree on Thanksgiving. But we didn't do it this year. So I had to go through the course. We didn't do it this year. That's fine. That's eligible. We did.
It is eligible.
I did watching football. That's my official pick.
See, I was gonna be more specific. And I was going to say watching the Saints expose the Bills as frauds.
More wins than the Steelers.
We got more ties. Like,
we do have more ties, and we have more wins. We have more wins over Buffalo than Buffalo has over Pittsburgh.
That's true.
But the Bills are going to make it to the playoffs. Steelers.
You guys want to hear something funny?
Yes.
The Patriots are going to win that division.
That's funny.
I got to tell this story.
That is funny, right?
Yeah, that's funny. I was watching the Steelers game on Sunday against the Chargers. Sunday night. We're down 17. I'm the biggest optimist you'll ever meet in your life.
I know you are.
I'm like, the Steelers are going to win this game. We go into the fourth quarter. We're down 17. We come back.
They should have.
We get up by 3. Like, and that doesn't mean like the Chargers scored and we're still up by 3. And there's like a minute where there's a minute and a half left. And they throw that touchdown. And I'm like, unbelievable. I was so mad. I went up to bed. Turned the lights off. Didn't even say goodnight to Maddie. She comes into bed. I'm like pouting. I'm like, she's laying there. She's like, why are you so mad? I'm like, stayed up all night. Steelers
damn
can't get done.
Damn like, Steelers can't
we come
done.
All the way back. We come all the way back to lose. We literally.
They did.
We did everything the best we could. And then we still lose that game. I'm like freaking out. Like I start punching the bed. I'm like.
Does she understand the sports tilt? Like, does she understand or does she just think you're crazy?
She thinks I'm crazy.
Huge game too. That was a huge game.
Yeah, I mean, we have a bigger game next week against the Bengals. So that's a big division game. I think we gotta beat the Bengals. We gotta beat the Ravens. I think we play the Vikings.
They need TJ Watt and Minka Fitzpatrick back.
Are they back?
I said they need him back. I think Minka will be back. I don't know about Watt.
Yeah. So I'm like punching the bed. Matt, he's like, you're acting like baby right now. Stop. Like she starts getting on me. I'm like,
yeah, I am.
And I'm like, I have this fire in my belly. where I'm just so mad and I'm like, I can't sleep. She's like, all right, let's pray. So she prayed over me and then I was able to fall asleep. But I was like, part of it was like kind of like trying to be theatrical and part of it was like serious.
It's definitely a combination. After,
yeah. I mean, you gotta let her know like that it means something.
Do you guys know who Jersey Jerry is?
No.
Chenzo Dio.
Am I supposed to know who Jersey Jerry is?
He's a diehard Steelers fan. He had a video go viral a couple of years ago when the Steelers, I forgot what happened, but he had this wild video that he was gonna kill himself. He told his wife, "Don't ask me to do nothing, dishes, nothing." Barstool just hired him. So really? he's been on some of the streams during the Pittsburgh games. I'm going to send you guys a clip as soon as we hang up. It was when the Steelers fumbled, I think last week in overtime. It was the funniest thing. I was dying. That was unbelievable too. But that's how I was on Sunday. I turned the Bills game off at halftime, pouted, went upstairs, started painting in our master walk-in closet that we have contractors doing. I said, no, I cannot watch this game. I need to do something. I opened his paint. I texted the contractor and said, I'm sorry. I'm just going to start painting. And then, of course, like a little child, like even once I pouted, walked away and turned it off, I put it on my phone. That's not really watching it. So I put it on my phone in the window. But it's the worst. The Bills, I have no confidence going into tomorrow against the Saints.
Hey, here's the thing. I wouldn't either. I'm looking at the Bills' schedule from this year. They have zero good wins.
Well,
they had the Chiefs before the Chiefs remembered how to play football.
I mean, they
the football team before Taylor Heineke.
I was at the Chiefs game when they played the Bills and the Bills smoked them.
Oh, were you really?
Yeah.
The Bills at different times are the number one offense and the number one defense in the league. They're just not consistent. They're not frauds. They're just not consistent.
They're slightly fraudulent.
Well, we'll find out tomorrow.
So to get back to the draft here.
Oh man, my activity was gonna be watching the Bills get crushed.
You use two different adjectives. You know. That's not very nice. You used exposed and crushed. You gotta pick one.
They get exposed by getting whooped. I forget how to say that. My activity, dang, like what do you do on Thanksgiving? Like you play in a turkey bowl? Sometimes turkey. I mean,
or is that your choice? Because that was my choice.
I'm thinking either turkey bowl or like, yeah, I don't go Black Friday shopping, so turkey bowl. Got to be the turkey bowl. I'm like, you know, instead of sitting and watching.
Well, you said you were gonna actually do it. Were you talking with the Bills game? You said you were excited for the football activity or the activity because it was something you were actually gonna do. Was that before I said the football thing?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was something I was actually gonna do. But yeah, we're gonna go to the turkey bowl. I wish I was planning a turkey bowl tomorrow. It's been a few years since, you know, I was able to do that. But, yeah, you know, just
when was the last time you did a
tossing the pigskin around? It's been a few years.
And who was in the game?
Just some of my friends back home.
Was it in State College or Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh.
Was Luke Gardner there?
No, it was not. Okay. Luke Gardner was not there. Luke Gardner played in the same turkey bowl as me. I'd make sure that I was covering him. Not catching any passes.
I love playing football. I'm going to play in a turkey bowl so bad. That was going to be my choice. Tomorrow for Thanksgiving, I'm going to be in the wrestling room, you know, getting my workout in the morning, 9 a.m. And then I'm just going to be hanging out with friends. I'd say, like, hanging out with friends. That's my activity.
Okay.
That's a fair activity.
Friendship.
Yeah. Fellowship.
Friendship can be a verb.
Yeah.
We're practicing friendship. We're doing friendship. I mean, that's all good stuff. I have it all written down. If we want to, release,
I think we do release it. Yeah.
All right, that's something we can work on.
Are those all the categories?
That's it. That's everything. And then the next thing I have written down to go over is just talking about how the Bills are frauds. But we already did that, so I'll just check that. Well, I'll just check that one off the list. I just love giving you a hard time, man.
I don't have confidence in the Bills right now, so I don't have much to come back with.
I really wish you did because it'd be more fun for me.
The fact that the Bills are a 5-point favorite tomorrow is ludicrous with how they're playing. It's wild.
But here's the thing, they'll probably win by like 23 points though, because they played bad last week, so they'll probably go light it up.
They're either going to lose
or they're win.
Or they're going to crush them.
Or they'll tie them. Or they'll tie them. They'll either win or
they
tie.
They could tie. They could tie.
I think that if you're betting on it, I think the over is the play. I think they're going to score a lot of points or have a lot of points scored on them. I don't think it's going to be a close game one way or another. I think the Bills did, not to make excuses, have some offensive linemen that were out this week. And Josh Allen had no protection. He was getting pissed left and right. It was just terrible. If we have a couple guys back, my confidence level will rise. And we're hosting, so I can't, like, I like to watch football alone a lot of times, because if I get disproportionately upset and beat up the bed, nobody's around.
Yeah.
With family around, it's a little bit more difficult to act irrational.
Yeah, I'm glad. I think the Steelers play Sunday.
Tight close fist. Yeah, Steelers aren't playing Thanksgiving. All right, so then we got word association. We could rip that real quick before I head off to practice here.
Yeah, let's do rapid fire word association. Jason, I don't know if you've done this with us yet.
Nope.
I don't think you have. So it's real simple. We each have three words. We tell you the word, and you just come up with the very first thing that pops in your mind. A lot of people, last couple times we've done this, they get afraid. So, like, for example, Martin Floriani was on here. Chenzo said Christian Piles. He sat back, and he just thought, and he said pass.
He said pass. we won't get that, touchy, but we'll get a little touchy.
Yeah. All right, Chenzo, you go first.
Oh man. All right. This is the first time I actually have mine written down, and I'm not rapid fire thinking of my words to associate with. So my first one is Stanford.
All right, is it to me?
Yeah. So you. This is all to you. All to you.
This is all to me. Okay.
Yeah. All you. All right, yeah. Go again. Stanford.
Chenzo.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to just say my name.
I thought he was going to say wrestling because of my shirt looking at that.
Either that or that.
I thought new. I thought new. New program, new. But I was like,
I'm cool with that.
That's fair.
In with the new. The Phoenix.
In with the new.
Rise of the Phoenix from the Ashes.
New is always better.
New is always better.
I like the old coaches. I like Jason Borelli. But I also you guys.
Hey, I appreciate that. Ray Blake came in a few weeks ago. He was awesome.
I like Ray.
Super nice. Yeah.
My first word is
next word.
Pizza.
Topping. I don't know. That was just in my head.
That's the game.
But that's the game. It's the first thing you think of. What is your pizza topping?
It shows how organized you are. Like, you're ready to order pizza. What's order toppings?
Yeah, I get mushrooms, spinach, what else do I get? Sausage, Italian sausage, and meatballs.
That's a crazy order.
That's very interesting. I'm pepperoni.
That's very different. I feel like a few years ago you would have been playing cheese pizza.
No, I get the cauliflower pizza from Wegmans, and those
cauliflower crust is great. Those on a Traeger is amazing.
Really?
Cauliflower crust with olive oil, garlic, ricotta, mozzarella, spinach, and prosciutto. Amazing on the Traeger.
Prosciutto. Okay.
Yeah.
I can get behind that. All right. My next one. Ice cream.
Chocolate.
That was there we too
are.
Easy.
There we Chocolate. Are. Chocolate. Is that the only type you go for?
Well, I thought about the picture ahead of my mind was chocolate syrup. But chocolate was the first word.
Say a phrase. If there's a phrase that comes to mind, you can say
it. I also like chocolate ice cream with chocolate syrup. Like that, I do whatever there.
Yeah. Death what about the twist? The classic creamery. Twist.
Yeah, the twist is good. I like vanilla and chocolate. I like Neapolitan.
Rainbow or chocolate sprinkles?
Oh, if it's just a plain vanilla cone, I'd rather have rainbow sprinkles.
What if it's a twist?
If it's a twist. Probably still, if there's any type of chocolate ice cream in there, probably chocolate sprinkles.
I have something. I'll send you a link to it. It's called Hagelslag. My grandparents used to bring it from Holland. It's Dutch sprinkles.
What do you mean, Haagen-Dazs?
No.
Haagen-Dazs. Yeah, I know that.
It's Haagen-Dazs.
No, it's Hagelslag. It's literally chocolate sprinkles from Holland. I just had some last night. My amazing wife ordered some for me. This is the package.
Wow.
They are the best chocolate sprinkles in the world.
That sounds good.
I may send you a box just so you have to admit they are. They're unbelievable. The bad thing is you'll want them every time you want a chocolate sprinkle.
Yes, right.
My next word is NFTs.
Crypto.
That's fair.
Okay. Yeah.
I just learned what an NFT was. I was so confused on why these little pandas were selling for millions
of
dollars.
I still am very confused as to why.
I'm still confused, but they're like trading cards, basically.
Yeah. It's collectible.
Like digital trading cards. Yeah.
Yeah. There might be something coming out soon here about some wrestling NFTs.
I saw that Ross Bendick. Is that his name?
No, he's doing something different. I reached out to him about being a part of a project that I'm involved in that I think is going to be amazing. We're doing it really slow because I want to do it right. We'll have a conversation offline about that because there are some things that are going to be.
Ooh, we still need to talk about whatever you wanted to talk to me about a few weeks ago. I forgot about that.
We're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're building a company to get athletes paid. That's what I'll say about it now. But athletes will get paid, senior level athletes. Basically, get ready to put some money in your pocket.
Beautiful. We'll talk about it then. I keep forgetting.
I love it. Chenzo.
All right. My last one is ASAP Rocky.
Freddie Stroker.
Why? What is the context there?
Oh my gosh. Block.
I'm still blocked on Twitter.
It's funnier when Chenzo tells it. You tell it.
All right. So we were like either like older in middle school or like younger in high school. I don't remember. But like this is whenever Twitter was like first like starting to get big, and like a few guys, like I forget how or where, but their name on Twitter was like ASAP something. And I told Jason, and then he made his like ASAP Nolf. And I was like, and I said, I like tweeted at him and I said, you don't even listen to ASAP Rocky. And then he blocked me.
And I've been still blocked.
And I've been blocked on Twitter for like 13 years.
Really?
He's still blocked this day.
I'm still blocked because anytime he tweets,
unblock him.
I've apologized.
I almost unblocked him when he got the job at Stanford. I almost unblocked him as a congratulations.
I think today's a good day.
Not that what I think about him matters at all. Like,
I think today's a good day to unblock.
You know, it's going to be his call. It's going to be Jason Nolf's call no matter what. Yeah.
Or Jason, you at least have to give him criteria to get unblocked. Is there something he can do?
There's not a lot he can do. That was he passed the line there.
What if he sends you chocolate ice cream and I send you Hogglestock?
That might be grounds for reinstatement.
Dude, hey, there's this place here called the Salt and Straw, and it has unbelievable ice cream. Like, best I've had. I'm gonna see if I can ship that across the country.
Hey,
can I
come out to Stanford and train with you guys for a little bit sometime?
Dude, yes. I've been talking to Bo and Anthony. Like, whenever I set them up to come out, like, I'm just gonna put you in a group message, and I'll have whoever, like, all you guys.
Oh, so like, I'm like your third best friend.
Yeah. You know, I asked Kyle and David first. They said no.
And Mark McKnight, didn't you ask him?
I asked Mark McKnight. He said no. He said no with his pinky sticking out like this. He said no. No.
So now I'm like
just,
level six.
Six or seven, yeah.
Six or seven.
No, but
Well, you blocked him. So
you blocked
him. Yeah, that's true.
Actually, Chenzo, didn't you like tweet invite him like 3 months ago?
I did. I invited you over Twitter. I tweeted at you and I messaged you. You were the first person I actually.
All he said was retweet if you want to come to Stanford, and you didn't retweet. So,
Are you guys going to bring?
We're going to set something up
there to that gym because you guys have like Cormier's gym down there, right? Like 30 minutes away.
We don't have Cormier's gym, but Cormier has his gym like 30 minutes away. Yeah, so they'll definitely go train there. They can go hit AKA too, which is in San Jose. It's like 40
That's
minutes
a great
from
trip.
Us too. Yeah. So we'll have a lot of stuff, and you should definitely come.
Before we get off, I'll have to show you guys my high kick. I got I flip this around? I got the bags right here. I can show you my roundhouse, you know, perfect. My high knees.
We'll
like
do have you there to record.
We'll do my third word. And then Chenzo, you did three words, right? Yeah, we'll do my third kick, word. Then I got to kick. Run. Then you got to run. All right, my third word is John Van Brill.
I forgot who that was for a second.
That's my answer.
All right, that's my answer. Now, I'll talk about him. He's a nice
kid. That is the beauty of this game.
Right, he's a nice kid. I was like, John Van Brill, Rutgers. He didn't mean to hurt my knee. Everybody's like, oh, this guy's a dirtbag because he tried to hurt my knee. He didn't mean to do it. He was just trying to hold on. I was trying to score. He was trying to hold on. I wrestled him again the next year at Nationals, I think. It was all good. I have no hard feelings.
I think Penn State fans, again, when it talks about the fans being harsher than the wrestler, Penn State fans definitely. And the atmosphere, from somebody who was watching it, and I think we talked about this, Jason, but from somebody who's like watching it, it did seem like the atmosphere got very hostile.
It did get hostile, and then Bo called out Richie Lewis or something, and then Richie Lewis called out Bo recently trying to fight him.
Yeah, but and Bo said Richie he don't want Lewis, his hands.
Richie Lewis tried, like, calling me out after the match.
Yeah.
And then I just didn't answer. Me and Richie are cool, though. Like, I've spoken to him after that. Like, we were, like, he was super cool, actually. I don't know why him and Bo are chirping on Twitter, but, like,
I think it's funny.
And it's actually hilarious. I actually went back and watched or showed one of, like, I showed Grant part of that match whenever I got called for an illegal headgear grab when his headgear was around his neck. Tried to grab the dude's headgear and, like, put it on his head.
Oh, and you got called for
and,
a point?
And I get, yeah, and I got
– Oh, I got, no. I didn't see that. It. I was laying with my knee in half in the locker room.
I know. Your mom – I was about to wrestle, and your mom was, like, out there just, like, in the hallway, like, crying. And I was like, hey, I was like, he's going to be okay. Like, I'm sure he's, like, banged
my
up.
My mom
like,
was crying?
Yeah, dude, she was up. She was super upset. And I was like, yeah, I'm like, that dude's tough as shit. He's going to be okay. Like, and you were wild. Okay. Yeah, that was a wild match. That place was crazy too. Look, like we went to Cornell on Saturday, and you know, it was like, oh, like crazy environment. There was like 1,200 people there. Like it was absolutely nothing. Like those Cornell fans were like, yeah, like good luck wrestling here. I was like, good luck wrestling at the rack. I'm like, Rutgers is like at least twice as crazy as that place. I'm like, even like go to a Big Ten school. I'm like, this ain't nothing.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, so I'm going to show you guys my kick, and then I'm going to get off.
Kick. Yep, let's see the kick.
Let me just put – oh, my gosh. I've been sitting down for too long. All right. Can you guys see the bag?
Yep.
Of course. Go to the second one. Go to the second one. Yeah. Yeah, that one.
Dang.
I'm unconscious after that. That one may be a little less unconscious. That was a good one. Nice. That looked mean.
That's all I got for you guys.
Heck yeah. Dude, you got some abs. You're looking ripped up.
Yeah. 74 plus 3 kilos pounds. Is...
74
kilos plus 3 is looking dangerous.
Yeah, sure. It's looking dangerous.
Not 75.
I appreciate you guys.
Of course.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me on. We'll do this
again. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving,
everyone. See ya.
And the beat goes on.